I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The United Nations had planned to fly desperately needed aid to the Somali capital Mogadishu today to help feed drought victims, but bureaucratic problems meant the planes couldn't take off. The UN declared a famine in two regions of Somalia just last week, and the crisis has brought new attention to a country that is essentially lawless. One artifact of that is the rise of piracy off Somalia's coast. Jay Bahadur spent months there researching his new book. It's called The Pirates of Somalia, Inside Their Hidden World. In it, he profiles a pirate leader known as Boya. Bahadur met him in a small town in the Somali region of Puntland. Boya exuded an air of superiority.
Boya was physically, he was an absolutely gigantic specimen. He was I'm pretty tall. I'm about 6'5", and Boya had at least 2 or 3 inches on me. But Boya, at our first meeting, was completely contemptuous of me. He barely looked in my direction and just sort of sat there grumbling and looking up at the sky and complaining about how much time this was taking and the day was over and so on.
Great start for you.
But, yeah, he's sort of the principal character in my book, but he began in the early 1990s as a fisherman, a lobster fisherman in Ale. Ale is a coastal town in Puntland that became kind of the epicenter of world piracy, the capital, I guess you could say. And essentially what happened was foreign fishing came in and used steel prong drag nets that really devastated the lobster habitats. So there's many documented incidences of foreign fishing running over local fishing gear, shooting the fishermen. Even one story I was told when I was in Ale is that a couple lobster divers were actually swept up in a trawler's net and drowned. There's never some really harsh depredations committed by foreign fishing.
So tell us how that led to the piracy that we're seeing today.
Well, the reason that so much foreign fishing congregates around Somalia is essentially that more or less the rest of the world has been fished out. And so when you had foreign fishing that came in to coastal areas like Ale, it made it much too dangerous for artisanal divers like Boya to operate. And so they essentially decided to start attacking these fishing ships that were coming into their territory. I think Boya told me in 1995 he hijacked 3 South Korean fishing ships.
So how reluctant was he to give you this kind of information? And I wonder what you were able to find out from him and what you weren't. I mean, what part of the story he was not telling you?
It wasn't just Boya, but a lot of the pirates I felt were feeding me either corrupted or just plain misinformation. And one of the reasons for this was that I was working, for one, with the government, right? Working with the son of a man who was basically the head of their subclan and then who was also the president of Puntland at the time. So everything was being filtered to tailor to the ears of the president and his son. So, for example, Boya, back in an earlier interview, claimed that 30% of all ransom money went to pay off local officials, and this was something I was very interested in. And then, so when I asked him this question with the president's son translating for me, of course he said, no. No money has ever gone to any government official.
You did manage to find out a lot about the pirate economy and how pirates divide up the ransoms that are parachuted directly onto the decks of ships. And there's one man who told you after the ransom's been divided, each pirate has to throw his mobile phone into the ocean before he leaves the ship.
The reason why they tossed their cell phones into the water was because they wanted to avoid anyone being able to set up an ambush for the other ones once the ransom came. So essentially, they all took their money. They got to the shore. They dispersed. Or maybe stayed with, in small groups made up of their own family members, and made a mad dash for the capital city. And one kind of pirate insider I was interviewing told me that's how you know when the ransom has come, because you call them and none of their phones work. That's because they've tossed them into the ocean.
In the bottom of the ocean. When do they decide, and how do they decide to kill hostages?
There's a recent report put out, a very accurate account of the 62 deaths that have occurred because of indirectly or directly because of pirate actions. 7 of those deaths have been caused by pirates deciding to execute hostages. One of those incidents happened very recently in February when the 4 American yachters were killed. What happened was that the yacht was surrounded by 4 U.S. warships, and one of the pirates, I guess, panicked and fired an RPG at a U.S. ship. So they started loading, basically boarding troops, just in preparation for launching a rescue operation. And then a small subset of the pirate group just panicked and shot two of the hostages. When U.S. forces heard the gunfire and started moving to board the ship, the other two hostages were killed. This was a completely botched operation on all sides, I think. Generally, though, what you're seeing is a lot more brutality in terms of torture, using them as human shields, tying them up, throwing them in freezers, and so on.
How did you manage to get out alive? You were in the den. You put yourself there. You were around some very unsavory characters. Why didn't they take you hostage?
Well, it all comes down to the clan connections I had, I think. And I was with the new government, the president of which was the same sub-clan as the pirates. So essentially, if they had done anything against me, it would have been like a direct challenge to the ruling authority. That being said, some of them were very skittish, certainly when I showed up, and accused me of being a CIA spy. And when I came in with government troops, actually we almost got into a firefight once with pirates. In those instances, you know, they were obviously very nervous that we were with the government, but to do something directly against me would have been kind of like declaring war on the ruling clan, and obviously that was something they would want to avoid.
Jay Bahadur, thank you.
My pleasure.
Jay Bahadur's new book is called The Pirates of Somalia, Inside Their Hidden World.